So yesterday we heard Damodar Leela. We heard that as long as one doesn't accept Prabhu as his own, he doesn't have sambandha with Prabhu, then until then, where will he have all these good qualities? Because in the Bhagavatam it is said that for a devotee of Krishna, all the qualities of the demigods, they reside in him. If one has his akinchana bhakti, then all the sadguns, they reside on their, they appear on their own in the heart of a pure devotee. But for those, if one leaves Bhagavan and is attached to anything else, then where will he get all these good qualities from? These divine qualities, who can give these qualities? Therefore, Saturat Muni is saying that the wealth of Kuver had so much wealth, but he could not give this Shuddha Bhakti to his children, could not give these good qualities to his children. Why? Because as long as one doesn't have Samanda with Bhagavan, he's not surrendered to him, then where will he get these good qualities from? Therefore, these bad qualities are natural for one who is not surrendered. Even if Yam Maharaj punishes them, even if they're sent to prison, who will correct them? They will not change. They will never change. Still, they'll again relapse to their previous condition. Therefore, it is said that as long as one is not an akinchana, one is not surrendered to an akinchan, nishkinchan bhakta, to Bhagavan, then these good qualities can never come inside him. If you hang one person, will he change? You burn him in fire, will he change? Even if you send him to prison, you punish him in Yamlok, in the abode of Yam, will he change? He'll never change. From morning to evening, the jivas are suffering so much, but do they still change? No. Therefore, Naradrishi, he saw there's no use in punishing one who is at fault. He will not change. What should I do? I should engage his mind in Bhagavan. I should make him have a relationship with the bhaktas in Bhagavan. And then by their compassion, all good qualities will appear within him. Therefore, it is said, that one, his qualities, they correspond to the qualities of the association he is in. Like in Hindi it is said, you are what you eat, you are what you drink. If you don't accept Bhagavad Prasad, then you will become like that person who is giving you food. You will get all his or her qualities. You'll develop the qualities of that particular association you are in. Therefore, it is very difficult to attain bona fide satsang. Chitraketu Maharaj, because he was a king from before, he married, he had 10 million, 4 million wives. 1 crore wives. But still he didn't have a son. So one day, the Rishi Maharshis came. Then he served them very nicely. Then he started crying. He said, what do you want? He said, oh, I have so many wives and not even one son. Please bless me with a son. He said, why you want this? Why you want this illusion? Then he said, how will my line run? How will my family run? then how will I have any descendants? But the Rishi said, how can you claim that he is your descendant? He's in your bloodline. Because the Jiva is part and parcel of Krishna. Jiva belongs to him. Why do you think that you want to continue your bloodline by giving birth to a son? Anyhow, he nicely practiced austerities. Then he said, all right. The sadhu said, you'll have a son. He'll be a cause of great joy and also cause of great sorrow. Then he said, oh, let him come, please. Anyhow, then when he was born, he was so happy, Chitraketu. He was very happy. Cannot even imagine how happy he was. Then the king was very attached to that queen who gave birth to the son. Then the other queens became jealous. Before, he'd speak to them at least time to time, give them food, clothing. But now they were thinking, oh, he only favors her. Then this boy was newborn baby. So what did they do? He couldn't even move his hands and legs. Then they fed him some poison and killed him. Then when the child died, all the queens also who killed him, they also started crying. At the time, the king, he imbalanced. The rishis, they came again. They said, why are you fretting so much? Weeping for the son. They gave him so many instructions. And then by their Tattva Gyan, they changed him. And the same Chitraketu Maharaj, now he wandered everywhere. And one day he went to Kailash. There he saw Rishi Thakur speaking Harikatha. So many who are listening, millions, not just humans, but even these birds, animals, devis, devatas, all these celestial beings, everyone, completely absorbed in listening to his Harikatha. When Chitraketu Maharaj came, there Shivji was completely absorbed, speaking Harikatha. But there Shivji, he was naked. And then on his lap, on the right side of his lap, Parvati Devi was sitting. Sati Devi. Then Chitraketu, when he saw this, he said, oh Bhagavan, Shivji, what kind of leela is this? How will the jivas be delivered if they see you doing like this? This is not proper for sadhu to behave in this way. Then she said, oh, you're giving advice to Shivji. So you have no sense. You become an asur, demon. And now he was born as a demon. Name was Vritrasur. Such a big demon. No one could even kill him. He stole heaven. He stole Patalatal, all the low regions of creation, another world, and chased Indra away. So, I was thinking, how can I defeat him? Indra was thinking. Then he came, he started performing many austerities. Went to Brahma. And Brahma said, you can do one thing. There is one tapasvi, his name is Dadichi. Go to his Dadichi and you tell him, oh, you have performed so many austerities that your bones have become very strong. You have to make a thunderbolt out of his bones. Only out of this thunderbolt can we kill Vritrasur. Because of his sadhan bhajan, his bones, his flesh, they become very strong. Now they could not be destroyed. And if Dadichi would remain in this world, there would not be anyone who could face him. He'd be like Bhagavan himself. So Brahma, he told the Devatas. And Devatas are thinking, but if we kill him, then he'll be a Brahmin. He's a Brahmin. How can we kill a Brahmin? So how can we take his bones? So then they requested Dadichi. saying, "Oh Bhagwan, oh great personality, you've taken birth for the well-being of others. We've come to ask some bhiksha from you." This way, you know, they became beggars. So even Bhagwan became a beggar himself, like Vamandev. And they said, "Oh, Bhagwan, tell them, go and give them." So they asked for his bones while he was still alive. So how could he give his bones while he was still alive? Because you can only take a person's bones when he dies. Then they said, "No, anyhow, we need your bones when you're still alive." So Dadiji saw all these devatas and he said, "Just see. It is so difficult to get darshan of these devatas, and all these devatas, they come together in a big group and they come to see me. And they're bowing down, folding their hands. Very humble. You see, these devatas, they don't care for others, but now they're like standing on their knees, saying, 'Oh Bhagwan, you've taken birth for the well-being of others, welfare of others. Whatever you do brings auspiciousness for the world. So we want something from you.' So what do you possibly need? You have everything. You have everything that you need to enjoy." He said, no, we have come because we need the bones of your body. Give us your bones." So how can I give without dying? And he said, "All right, kill me." And he said, "Oh, we cannot kill you, then we'll be guilty of killing a Brahmin. Life after life we'll suffer because of the sin of killing a Brahmin." So how can I give you my bones? He was saying. So you can do one thing. See, in your body, we'll put some dahi, some curd and pura. Means some powdered sugar. And this way, the cows will start licking your body. And then as and when they start licking your body, which has been sweetened, and all your flesh will come off. And then only your bones will remain. And then we'll take your bones away and make a thunderbolt. Dadiji man said, "Oh, just see. Just see how intelligent all of you are. Alright. He said, "Alright, at least by my yoga I'll leave my body." They said, "No. We need your bodies while you're still alive, not when you're dead." See, Indra was always like this. Once he went to Karna. He said, "Oh Karna, you're known as a great donor, so please give us something in charity." He said, "Oh, I need this kavacha on your chest, this golden shield, this golden armor. This, you see, this kavacha, this golden armor was already enmeshed within his body. It was already attached, it was part of his body. And Indra knew that without his kavacha, he'll die. But he said, "No, I need your kavacha anyhow, your golden armor." In this way, there are some hypocrites who say that, "Oh, Father, anyhow, even if you're alive or dead, you have to earn money for me. You have to feed me." Very ungrateful children. Very demoniac. So this way, Indra, he went this way. And then all the demigods, they put this gaibura, this powdered sugar and good. In this way. And then they kept licking his body, licking. They took his bones away and they made a thunderbolt out of it. And then Indra took this thunderbolt and he went to fight with Dhritarashtra. But Dhritarashtra, he didn't care for this thunderbolt. But still Dhritarashtra, he said, "Oh, I'm bound by this demoniac species of life. I don't wish to remain in this body. It should be good if I give up this body." Indra was throwing his vajra, but still the vajra was returning to him, the thunderbolt. And he said, "Hey Indra, kill me. You're supposed to kill me. This thunderbolt, kill me. Why am I not dead yet?" So I was encouraging Indra more and more. And Indra, he started cutting Dhritarashtra's neck. It took him 1 year to cut his head off. And then he was cutting his head. What did Dhritarashtra say? Dhritarashtra was offering many stotras to Bhagwan. Then Indra was thinking, what am I doing? He's not a demon. He's a great devotee of Krishna. If I kill him, I'll be guilty of great sin. How can I tolerate this sin. But without killing him, I will not have my sorga. So this way, one year he was cutting his head with his thunderbolt. And he was continuing. And the Thrasur was offering many beautiful prayers in the Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, you can read. So then in the last, Satyavrat Muni is saying, saying, oh Prabhu, I don't want mukti. Even if I have to wander in the cycle of repeat birth, no harm. But in whichever species of life I am born in, Prabhu, I only desire to have friendship, love for your devotees. Oh Swami, I only desire that those who are attached to your Maya, to this body, to society, to family, then I wish to never see such people. I never wish to have any sambandha with them. This way, in the heart of the jiva, once bhakti has arisen, then this bhakta in whom pure bhakti has arisen, he'll only ask for pure bhakti, he'll not ask for anything else. After 1 year after Indra had killed Ritrasur, and he got the sin of killing a Brahmin. The sin of killing a Brahmin now assumed a personified form and stood in front of Indra. Indra tried running away, but where could he possibly run and escape? Then he went to this Mansarovar and he went and hid behind the stem of a lotus. And then this sin was hovering on his head, because as soon as he would emerge out of the Sarovar, the sin would catch him. So he had to hide there. So how could he be happy? Then Brahma and Devatas, they saw, no, Indra will not come now. Then they asked this personified sin, can we distribute these sins of Indra, the sin of killing a Brahmin, can he be freed? But who will take this sin of killing a Brahmin? Who is so merciful? For those who atone for their sins, who are called Brahmins, what do? They take the sins of the Brahmin. Why? See, an effulgent person, he's never entangled in sin. Like fire consumes everything. Even stole, garbage, everything it consumes. It consumes great big forests also. Not just plants, creepers, even devours, animals, human beings, everyone. But still the fire is unaffected. Similarly, one who is very effulgent, very competent, he can never be guilty of having any sin. So who would be so competent to accept the sin of Indra, of killing a Brahmin? Then he saw that ladies, they are competent to take some of the sin. Why? Because the ladies are very compassionate, very soft-hearted. So Indra, he asked the woman, can you take part of my sin? He divided his sin into four parts. So the ladies took one part of his sin, and the sin entered into their bodies. And the sin is seen every month. And then every month they have to relieve themselves of this sin, and then they become pure again. And then Mother Earth took one part of his sin, and then that part became a desert. So and how would Mother Earth be purified then? And water would flow in such a place. And so even water became impure. Foam and bubbles start collecting on the surface of water. And then you see, after some time all the rivers, they turn red. And then they become pure again. And then sometimes you see trees also, they took part of a sin. How? The sap started oozing from trees. So in this way, all of them took part of a sin. So Ritrasur, then he left his tamasi body. And he went with the bhaktas to Vaikuntha. So how is Bhagwan's Leela? We heard yesterday night. But not only did he liberate them from their aparadh, kukarma. No, Krishna, he gave them Sarvasiddhi. He gave them these names, Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta, and he sent them to Braj. And then Krishna told them, now I'm giving you this Nitya Seva, by which you'll never fall again. You'll never be degraded. What is your Seva? He said, you should always speak my Leela Katha. Do Shravan Kirtan. In the morning, 6 to 9, in Nitya Braj, Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta, they're always doing Kirtan. And all the Vrajavasis, they come to listen to Katha. And then in the evening also, Krishna saying, when I go cowherding, then again you should do Kirtan. Then it is said, and Guru Raghav said, that if one engages in Nitya Shravan Kirtan, then this Bhagavad Leela Katha will appear in his heart. You know, sometimes you see, if someone dies, they read Garuda Puran. If you want the welfare of the soul, read the Gita Bhagavat. They say, no, read Garuda Puran, not the Gita Bhagavat. So you see, the Puranas are in the mode of Satta, Tama, Raja. So read these Nirgun Shastras, like the Bhagavatam. And this way they became established in their Sarup, and there they attained the position of being Krishna's associates in Nitya Raj, where they achieved his Nitya Seva. Saturth Muni is saying, fortune on Nalkuver, that Devarshi Narada, without even being called for, he appeared. They didn't want to meet Narada. They don't want to have any relationship with him. But Narada, she, in fact, when they saw him, they became very angry. They wanted to fight with him. They started scolding him. They wanted to beat him. He never became disturbed. No. A sadhu, even without doing any sadhana bhajan, they went to this Bhauma Vraj. Naradashi sent them to this Bhauma Vraja, the Vraj in this material world, and then after that, they were sent to Golok. And say they did sadhana there. And then they say they were always listening to Vraj Katha, relishing this Vraj Rasa. In this way, they had their Sadgati, deliverance. But the Satsanga cannot be had anywhere else. Therefore, it is said, what is use of going to Tirthas even if sadhus are not there? Wherever the sadhus are, where the Vaishnavas are, that place is Vrindavan, where it's full of happiness. We go to many Tirthas. We wander, we roam, we form many austerities, we do sadhan, but sadhu sangha, how can we have? There is no sadhusang, no satsang. Then, seeing the, and what is the use of wandering in pilgrimage places where there are no sadhus? Prabhu and Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, he said, now that I had the darshan of yellow lotus feet, Prabhu, he told Ishwar Puripad, now my journey to Gaya is successful. Just by seeing you, millions of my ancestors are delivered. You yourself bestow auspiciousness to all the Tirthas, and all the pilgrimage places of this world cannot even be compared to you. You yourself are the personification of all holy places of pilgrimage. This is what Mahaprabhu said when he met Sri Ishwar Puripad. Mahavir said, "No, my journey to Gaya is successful. I came here to offer Pindadan, to offer oblations for my father. You see, if you offer oblations, the forefathers are delivered." Mahavir said, "But still, if you offer oblations to one particular person, only he is delivered. But Mahaprabhu told Ishwarpuri, by seeing you, millions of my ancestors are delivered. All Dittas pale in comparison to you, with you." So today my life is successful. Now kindly give me your blessings. They say, if one is doing a Tirthyatra, then without Sadhu Sangha, how will he be able to progress without Sadhu Kripa? Who will be this Bhagavad Prem, Bhagavad Priti? Therefore, all the Tirthas start praying to Bhagavan. And they say, all the sinful people, all of them, they come and pollute the Tirthas. Prabhu, he wants everyone to be purified. And what do they come? They come and they pollute the Tirthas. Then Prabhu, he said, whenever the sadhus come, and the pilgrimage places went and appealed to Bhagavan, saying we're suffering so much because of their sins, then Krishna assured them, when the sadhus come and touch you, immediately you'll become pure. Why? Because they carry this person who's holding this katha in their hearts. Tirthas, they receive their tirthatva, means this quality of being pilgrimage places only when the sadhus visit them. Therefore, Chaturth Muni has shown in the 7th verse that without satsanga, the living entity can never be enlightened. Without satsanga, the sadhusanga, what can be had without such sadhusanga? Even intelligence, discrimination, discretion, how will they help one? Therefore, where there is sadhu sangha, there shravan kirtan will take place nitya, eternally. This bhagavad kirtan, bhagavad katha, bhagavad seva will always be continuous. Where there is no sadhu sangha, satsanga, then even if one arranges for many ashrams, temples, then what is the use? Therefore, Param Gurudev has written, wherever Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha, Hari Nam is going on, they're all one. One person is chanting Hari Nam, but if he's not doing Hari Kirtan, not listening to Hari Katha, then he's very selfish. Then, if he only took shelter of the whole name, but he doesn't do Kirtan of Bhagavan's Rupgun Leela, what does he think of the welfare of others? And they say, he's only thinking about his own well-being. So say, Prahlad Maharaj said he's very selfish. In this way, Bhagavan will never deliver them, will never be merciful to them. Because they're only practicing austerities there in the forest for their own benefit. Why? They take their malas, they go to the cave, they're chanting, they're performing austerities only for his own well-being, all deliverance. So Bhagavan said, he's very selfish. Only feeding his own self. But what about the others? So Bhagavan said, I'll never bestow him mercy upon you. He's a very selfish. In this way, when one is doing Hari Katha Kirtan, he's remembering Sri Hari. Mahaprabhu, he told Haridas Thakur, you are the Acharya. Why? Because you practice and you also preach by your own ideal conduct. One who does Kirtan, who speaks Harikatha, does Prachan and practices himself. You see, if you only preach, but you don't practice, then it will be like karma. You should also practice in your own life, along with preaching. So in the shloka, Satyavrata Muni is saying, the 7th shloka, that Sadhu Sangha is the parichay of Bhagavad Kripa, means Sadhu Sangha is the main symptom of Bhagavan's mercy. And sadhus, what do they say? You just do Shravan Kirtan, engage others also in Kirtan. in Bhagavad Seva. And then at that time, Satvarat Muni is saying that once one devotee, he saw another devotee walking past him. Therefore pronounced to each other. He said, I'm fallen. He said, I'm more fallen. And he's touching his feet. And he says, they're trying to catch hold of each other's feet. Saying, oh, I am Adam, Tamadam. Saying, I'm fallen, I'm more fallen. Let me take your foot dust. And then there was a big field. And as they were rolling around, what happened? They destroyed all the crops in the field. Then the farmer came. Then he said, oh, it destroyed my crops. Then he took one big stick and he started beating both of them. Then he said, this is how you get mercy. Rather than following instructions, still you'll say, oh, give me your foot dust. And you know, they take the feet by force, hold it to their chest head, saying, I'll break your leg, but still I want your foot dust. So in this way, this mercy had. If you follow the instructions of Sadhu, then automatically he'll give water speaker's foot dust, he'll give everything to you. Saying, no, I want now, immediately. Why will you not give your feet off for me? And he said, anyhow, I'll take your feet, even if I have to break them. This is not the way. So Kubir, he prayed. And then in this way, he prayed to Naradishi, please be merciful to my two sons who are like demons. I cannot correct them. So now you be merciful to them. Because you only come, you go everywhere only for the welfare of all the jivas. This is Bhagavan's desire. So why not merciful? Why not be merciful to these two boys? So then Naradishi, he's Antaryami, he's omniscient. So then he reached where these two boys were. When Dhruva left home and went to the forest, Dhruva, he didn't know who Sri Hari is, where he could find him. Then he found his austerity, his meditation. His mother taught him how Sri Hari is, how he looks like. And he saw the lion. And he said, oh, Hari, he has blackish in complexion, he has red eyes. The soles of his feet are reddish, and his palms are reddish, so he is Bhagavan. So then he looked at the lion and he said, oh, lion, the eyes of the lion are very reddish, its claws are reddish, his feet are reddish. So then he looked at the lion and he said, are you Hari? Are you my Hari? He said. The lion not came to eat him actually. I mean, the lion now forgot its violent nature, seeing how innocent this boy was. As soon as I saw this boy, the lion became very peaceful. Because a small boy came to meditate on Shri Bhagavan. He didn't know so many trying circumstances. Came to test him. But still through he only thought of Bhagavan. And Bhagavan, he sent Narada, Naradrish, go and help this boy. Without your help, how can he approach me? So then Naradishi went to Dhruva. He said, hey, you are the son of Kshatriya warrior. Also, you are very angry, like a cobra. The father just told him a little, his stepmother just spoke a little, and he was barely 5 years old, but still he left home. And he ran away. And he came to the forest, and this way he said, your parents are looking for you, go. And he said, are you Sri Hari? Then why are you trying to cheat me? Can you give me Sri Hari? Or else you kindly leave, he told Naradishi. Then Naradishi said, oh, he is very determined, this boy. And he said, like, do or die. So Dhruva said, I'll surely show. Naradishi, I'll not leave. He is Kshatriya, He's very stubborn. He's very enough, I have to die. Anyhow, I have to. So, Ardashi saw he's very stubborn. Said, go bathe in the Yamuna, because he was in Madhuvan nearby. Said, chant this mantra. Go on some place which is a little elevated. Go there. So, where can I go? Go to Madhuvan. In Madhuvan, Hari is always present. Go chant your mantras there, Sri Hari will appear. He said, all right. He said, who are you? He said, I'm your guru. And how did you know I was here? Narada said, what can I do? You're meditating on Bhagavan. Bhagavan himself sent me here to initiate you. He said, will I surely have Bhagavan's darshan? He said, why not? And then he said, what will you do when Bhagavan appears in front of you? He said, oh, Bhagavan, he's a lord of everyone. If he takes me on his lap and loves me, then everyone will love me. My father didn't take me on his lap, I became so angry. My stepfather said, only if you take birth from my womb, then you can sit on his lap. How can I take you on my lap when you're the son of another lady? So then his mother, Suniti, she said, oh, Krishna, he's the father of all fathers. Go sit on his lap, Narayan's lap. So he said, I want to meet Bhagavan, I want to sit on his lap. In this way, and Lamu be unhappy then. Then Narada said, all right, you chant this mantra. Sri Hari will come to you. When he sat down to chant his mantras, he saw when he would go, sometimes when he would go playing, some of the other boys would tease him, saying, oh, you're like an orphan. Your father's rejected you. So they would taunt him and then come and tell his mother, saying, all these other boys are teasing me so much. Then he said, who's my father? And he said, your father is the king of the all of creation. He said, I'm the son of a king, and all these people are troubling me so much. Therefore, Dhruva was such a beautiful boy. When he went to sit on the lap of his father, then his stepmother came. So Ruchi, she said, you die and then take birth from my womb. Then you can sit on his lap. And so these words of hers pierced his heart. He said, on the order of his mother, he went to worship Bhagavan. And he was chanting his mantras, all these things that he faced started appearing in his mind. He said, Gurudev, what can I do? Mind is disturbed. He said, oh, now you've eaten so much food, rice. Therefore, this worldly rasa has entered inside your body. Don't eat anything. And then he left it. For 1 month, he stopped eating. And then sometimes he'd just chew some leaves, flowers that would fall from the trees. Such a very dry. Drink some water. He stopped eating. And his mind became a little peaceful. And then the 3rd month, again his mind was a little restless. So he was thinking, what to do? Hari was not appearing. Chanting his mantra, but not. Hari is not appearing. And he said, oh, stop drinking water also. In the 4th month, he said, even though my mind is a little restless, Prabhu is not giving his darshan. Then he stopped breathing also. No, there's a big Mahapralaya. All the demigods were very scared. Brahma and all of them went to Bhagavan. There was universal devastation of Mahapralaya. And then Vishnu gave him darshan in his heart. Dhruva said, why are you giving me darshan in my heart? You should come appear outside. I'm just a small boy. Because children are like that. He said, please come in front of me. Why are you scared of me? Will I fight with you? Kindly give me darshan in front. You are very dear to everyone. Make me one of your own also. And when Prabhu appeared, and by his effulgence, Dhruva could not even see him. Then, what did Bhagwan do? He had his forehead for me, took his conch, and he touched him. And then, he gained his composure. And then he started offering many stotras, saying, "Oh Prabhu, now that I've attained you, what do I need? I don't need anything else." Maharishi, meanwhile, he went to his father and he said, "Oh, King, you left your wife here, and you also left your son. You're so attached to this lady, for this other wife of yours, that you even rejected your own son. What if a lion has eaten him? What if there's a forest? What if there's a fire in the forest and he dies?" Then Narada is chastising him, saying, "This is how you are. Very henpecked husband." In this way, he said, "Your son now has had darshan of Bhagwan. Now he's returning to your kingdom. Now welcome him." And then the king started making all arrangements to bring Dhruva there. And then even the stepwife started speaking to him, so much love. Because she had also one son, Uttam. And the king, he gave his kingdom to Dhruva and he left to the forest. And Uttam was like his mother. She had all her qualities. He went to fight with the Gandharvas. He said, "Why am I not dear to all of you? I'm a prince." Started fighting with the Gandharvas. Then the Gandharvas killed him. Dhruva saw, "Oh, they killed my brother." So he started attacking the Gandharvas. He killed many Gandharvas. Then Brahma appeared. He said, "Dhruva, what are you doing?" Then Naradashi came. He said, "Boy, is this the fruit of a tapasya? He died because of his karma. Why are you killing these innocent Gandharvas?" No. "Should stay silent. No, be peaceful." Then Bhagwan, for 33 million years, he gave this kingdom. Then he said, then Dhruva, he changed. And then even Suniti, she was missing her son so much. So she left her body also in separation from her son. And then Bhagwan, he made Dhruva love for Bhagwan. And when the chariot came, he said, "Dhruva, enter the, sit on this chariot." Then he started looking everywhere. He said, "Where is my mother? It was only because of my mother that I left the forest to see you. Dhruva Lok, you made only for me, but so she's my Siksha Guru. Now how can I go leave without her?" Then Bhagwan said, "Your mother's already there. In this way, there. We took her first in this chariot. Now we're taking you." So in this way, Dhruva, he took his mother and he went to this Dhruva Lok, Vaikuntha. This Rama Priya, Vaikuntha. See, he was so fortunate to have such a guru. So where there is no satsanga, where there is no sadhupadesh, then all kinds of problems, they appear there. Therefore, wherever there is satsang, then everything is there. This is mentioned in the 7th shloka. Tomorrow, listen to the 8th shloka.